Running with Jake, the podcast. On this episode,
we'll put the most dangerous stairs in the world in. We'll order them off eBay because we don't want to spend a lot of money on the stairs.
They definitely Amazon Prime those stairs, I've got to say. And
it's an afterthought.
It's an afterthought and it's an accident waiting to happen.
Running with Jake, the plodcast. Because every runner needs the occasional plod. And here's your host, Jake Lowe.
Welcome to the Running with Jake podcast. This is it. We are back for another episode of your weekly dose of running motivation. This is the motivational mothership to boldly go where no podcast has ever been before. I won't deny I'm in a rather strange mood today. There's so much change happening in the world, but I'm up for giving you my superpowers of motivation today. That's what we're going to do on the show. We've got a great show lined up for you. We're going to be chatting to Marathon Marcus, a guy who I feel like I know really well because we've connected on social media so many times over the years, but we've never actually spoken. Today we've got him on the show. He was gearing up to train for London, obviously being hit with a deferral like many of us out there, so he is now preparing to take on the 26.2 miles in October. I'm going to be chatting to him about his training and the mental side of his preparations. At the end of the show, we'll also be doing a hashtag Ask Jake. If you've got a burning question, then you need to get in contact with us. It's podcast@runningwithjake.com. But you know, it is strange times at the moment. I don't want to keep harping on about that because we're all talking about normal. Let's get back to normal. I don't know. Pete, I don't know what normal is anymore. I think we're going to create some kind of new normal. But I feel like we need to get back into a flow with the show. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
It's not all doom and gloom out there. It's just not. There's been so many positive things that have happened recently. I've been reaching out to so many of my friends and people on Facebook. And even though we've got this distancing, this social distancing, it's not stopping us from reaching out. So I do think there are many positive things happening at the moment. You've just got to have that kind of glasses half full attitude. What's been going on with you, Pete? You must have something positive to tell me. Obviously, we don't get to hook up physically as often as we would like, given the lockdown at the moment. What's been going on with you? Tell me something positive, man.
Something positive. I mean, when I do my daily exercise, I go out of the house and I have a little bit of a wander. And yes, people cross the street, and that's the most sensible thing to do, absolutely. But one thing that never has happened before, but happens all the time now with everybody, is people look at you, they go, "All right, how are you? That's it. Hello." You don't know them.
That does happen.
They're just strangers. It's nice. I like that. I'll tell you something else as well, mate, that I found, is I've started really enjoying the garden. I got the garden. I go, "Oh, I think I'll spend some time weeding." Never before have I wanted to weed. And then I'm in my shed and I'm going, "Oh, yeah, I like this in here, yeah." So I feel almost as if I've aged. Like an old guy enjoys gardening and weeding and stuff like that.
Don't forget your chicken coop. That's why you feel like an old guy, I think. The chickens definitely add to this whole perception and reality that you've created for yourself.
They do. Sometimes I just go and talk to the chickens. It's true. It's what happens. So I think I've aged. I don't think I'm the only one either. Ian, my mate Ian, who, you know, the voiceover guy.
Yeah.
This guy.
Running with Jake, the podcast. Your weekly dose of running...
That guy, well, I was speaking to him. He's one of my oldest friends from years ago. And he started doing a really weird thing as well. We're just having a chat on the phone. And he pauses. I went, "You all right, mate?" And he went, "Yeah, a car's gone past that I don't recognise." I went, "You what?" He goes, "Yeah, there's a car just gone down the road." He said, I spend a long time looking out the window nowadays. He said, "I know which cars come and go. I know which cars are the neighbours." This is quite a busy road that he lives on, just to give it perspective. It's like he's become an old man who's into neighbourhood watch.
We're all going to age. This is terrible. This is not positive, Peter.
I think it's good because we're aging, we're happy, life is simplistic. I'm enjoying talking to chickens. I'm enjoying polishing my tools in the workshop. I'm enjoying weeding. Ian, he's enjoying watching people come and go, which is a little bit odd, but still a little bit old. But, you know, he's happy with it, and that's a good thing.
Well, you know, this new normal that we're creating now, there is one thing that I'm not particularly... I won't say I'm not loving at the moment, but I'm having to adjust to it. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Martina, my girlfriend, is a vet, and she's classed as a key worker, so she's in work, but they have reduced the hours. So now in the animal, the veterinary hospital, they're only taking on emergency cases, which makes sense.
Yes, yeah.
So it means she's spending more time at home. Now, I'm used to being king of the castle when I'm here in the day. She's here and she doesn't... I mean, it's lovely. It's lovely to have her around. I love her dearly. But she, in all honesty, she doesn't really know what to do with herself. She's kind of doing a little bit of studying here and there, and she's sort of doing the odd... She's washing the pots and doing the odd washing. And it's a... It's fine, but I just feel a little bit, like a little bit on edge. And I'll tell you something that's really difficult as well.
Yeah.
When you and I recording the podcast, because, you, I mean, you've been to my house, right? We're in this lovely little annex and it's great, but it's quite small, you know, it's compact, bijou. And we have to kind of arrange where Martina's going to be. I have to basically say to her, look, I'm recording with Pete. We've got to record an episode for the show. You have to pick a floor. Like, the first time I said this to her, she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you've got to pick a floor because I'm recording upstairs and you can't kind of, you can't transit between the two because we've got some weird stairs and they're like super noisy. So like, yeah. She's locked down in a lockdown. It's like a double lockdown for this girl. She's not only can she not go out, but she's actually got to be locked down and confined within the house as well. But it's just necessary for the purpose of the show.
Sure, sure. I get that. I mean, the dodgy thing is you're making her use the stairs more often than she needs to because your stairs are just dangerous. It's not that they're not even fit for purpose, mate. It's,
man, they are pretty badass stairs, to be honest.
When I
with
come
you.
To yours, I mean, I nearly kill myself yeah. every time, right? Mm. It's like when they built this annex to the main house, and you rent the annex, and it's like they went, let's build this beautiful thing, and how are we going to get up to it? How are we going to get up to it? I know, we'll put the most dangerous stairs in the world in. That's what we'll do. We'll order them off eBay because we don't want to spend a lot of money on the stairs. We just want something cheap. We want it in. We want it quickly. Let's order it now. We'll get it delivered tomorrow. We'll wang it up tomorrow afternoon just before Coronation Street comes on. It's like they've done that.
They definitely Amazon Prime those stairs, I've got to say. And
it's an afterthought.
It's an afterthought and it's a nice touch, but it's just, it's an accident waiting to happen.
It is.
They're certainly not the best. You want to try going for a wee in the middle of the night, mate, when you try not to put the light on. So you don't wake your girlfriend. It is nothing short of a nightmare. Do you mind if I just check on it? I better check.
Where is she? Is she upstairs or downstairs?
No, she's downstairs. She's downstairs at the moment. But let's give her a little bit of rest. But Marty, yeah. Marty, are you there? Yeah. Do you want to come on? Huh?
Sorry?
Just come on. Yeah, you can. It's okay. You can come up. Yeah, we're just taking a break from the recording. We're just having a mini breather. It's hard work, this stuff.
We're not having a break.
You be careful on those stairs.
Yeah.
Are you alright?
Yeah.
What you been doing?
I don't know. Like studying. I studied a bit of.
You've been studying.
Cardiovascular.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. We won't be much longer. We've just got a little bit of stuff to do, but you can carry on studying your cardiovascular stuff. And it's just difficult, obviously, with both floors and stuff.
Yeah.
And
fine. I'm just. Yeah. Close the door.
Okay, yeah, please.
See you in 3 hours.
We won't be that much. We're not got much more to do now. We're going to crack on. This is the last circuit of recording. So, is that all right?
Yeah.
All right, well, you need to go back downstairs now. Sorry. Just
that, people, right there, is a double lockdown.
If you don't mind, obviously, if you don't mind, you could put a kettle on. Just because it'd be nice to have a virtual coffee with Peter.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Fine.
Yeah, just shut the door behind you. You watch yourself on those stairs, all right?
Thanks.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Oh, God. Yeah. You're sending her down the stairs. She could break her neck. You're sending her to go and get your drink, and then you expect her to bring the drink up to you as well. Do you know, just for so that people... We're talking about the stairs. We're talking about the danger of the stairs, and they are wildly dangerous. And yourself and Marty are slim. You're very slight. Neither of you are massive frames. I'm a 15 stone, and when I try and make it up and down those stairs, every time, it's really dangerous.
Yeah,
okay?
There was almost a wedging. You almost got wedged last time, actually, Pete.
We need to spread margarine on me just to get me out. It was unbelievable. Seriously, do me a favour, mate. Get a video of your stairs and post it. What we'll do is we'll include it in the show notes so that people listening can understand and go and look at the stairs.
Great idea.
I think people need to understand the stairs.
Yeah, they do, really. I must admit, that's very important that we give people a full idea of exactly what's going on with these stairs.
We are bringing this podcast for free, and yet we are risking our lives at the same time for this podcast, and so is Marty. And that's important that people understand, so go and check that out. runningwithjake.com/plodcast.
Running with Jake, the podcast. No, seriously, whose car is that?
So our next guest on the podcast, I've never actually met, but through the power of social media, I feel like I know this guy. He's known as Marathon Marcus. He's a family guy. He's an ambassador for mental health and wellness. He's all about balancing sound mind and sound body. He's gone from 4 hours 55 to 3 hours in the marathon, which is just incredible. He's a 6-star finisher, which if you don't know, it means he's completed all 6 world marathon majors. And we've got him on now. Marcus, how you doing?
Thank you. It sounds quite impressive.
It does.
About someone else.
Did you like that build up there? Did you like that?
Yeah, thank you for that, and I appreciate it. You don't always it's always take into account some of the things you've done, so thanks for that.
I often think this myself, because we're so in the thick of something, we rarely take a step back just to reflect on things. I think that's very relevant for runners, actually, in their own goals and aspirations, don't you think?
Yeah, for sure. I think this time is actually forcing us to do that, because I'm always busy and always doing things, so it's good to stop and reflect. Obviously, we would have rather had it in better times, but, you know, we make the best of the situation that we find ourselves in.
I was chatting to a very good friend of mine the other day, and he was saying that himself and his wife just had a very gentle walk from their house, you know, just what they're allowed to do at the moment. And he said it was like going back in time. Everybody's just reconnecting, just taking a step back, reflecting on things. There's less choice in life. Because I think that choice can sometimes be, too much choice can sometimes be overwhelming.
It's levels as consumers, and when you look back at and I'm probably a part of it as well, so I can't really sort of bash it too much, but you know, we're all that sort of thing. What's next? What's new? Always trying to get the next best shoe, next best watch, next best product. So it's probably good that we can actually sort of stop and just, you know, take a step back and think, well, what's actually important? What do I actually need? And then going back to, you know, the point about going outside and things like that, it's a strange time, because although whilst we can go outside, you've still got the physical distancing. And I was talking to my mindset coach, Duncan Foster, and he said this term to me the other day, and I thought it sounded so much better. He's the term physical distancing rather than social distancing, because we still need to maintain social connection. We're just maintaining physical distance. And I just think social distancing doesn't really, it's not probably the best term when you think about it, because we still need to maintain some sort of connection.
I'm going to make a note of that, if you don't mind, and pinch that. It's absolutely on the money, because it's strange, isn't it? We're kind of more connected at the moment. I mean, who knows? Would we be chatting to you right now if it wasn't for the situation we find ourselves in? Maybe. But actually, I'm spending a little bit more time on social media because of the situation. And I saw that you'd started a new podcast, and I listened to that, which I loved, which we'll link in the show notes on our page. And I thought, let's reach out to Marcus and have a chat with him. So it is strange. We're almost more social, being encouraged and forced to be more social, but that it's the physical contact that we just need to take a step back from. I love that. I think that's fantastic. Where did this all begin for you? Because from what I see on your Instagram account and social channels, you it's just Marathon Marcus. He runs and he's always ran. Take me back to the beginning. How did you get into it?
It's been a complicated journey. I wish I could sort of say it's been like a smooth journey, but it hasn't. I started running in 2006 through a bet from a friend to do a 10K, but before that he was trying to get me to do different races, and I just, you know, bottled it. I gave him loads of excuses, and then I did the Nike 10K. It was North versus South, and that was the first race I did. Training, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just wearing my football kit and just regular trainers. I remember I'd try and run a mile, and I couldn't. I remember I was running probably, you know, 100 meters or so, or less than that, and, you know, being out of breath and stopping and walking and thinking, how the hell am I going to run 6 miles at the time? So I just thought, you know, it's just kind of a crazy situation. And then I complete the race and I just felt alive. I just couldn't describe how I felt. It was just an amazing feeling. You forget all the pain that you went through for the training, and you sort of realize like how strong you are. Then it kind of made me jump into races too much, and I probably won't say it's a negative sign because it's part of my journey, but I probably raced too much.
Okay.
I was trying to chase that goal of getting the medals and that feeling, and I was doing more 10Ks, more half marathons, but I didn't really know what I was doing in terms of training wise and not doing the physical strengthening side, so, and not understanding the shoes and the kit, and so I was getting injuries and trying to force things. But you know, I was going on youth and sort of, you know, enthusiasm rather than kind of, you know, rational knowledge. And so then I think I jumped into the marathon. The marathon is tough, you know, it throws you into deep water. I don't want to sort of go too much, because I know you just asked the question about how do I get into it. But when I first started running, just to sort of summarize, I think I jumped in it because I was didn't feel great about myself, and I was trying to do it because I wanted to, you know, chase that external validation to make myself feel better. But then you're always chasing it, and I wasn't doing the right thing alongside, which I've sort of learned as time has gone on.
What advice would you give to people that are perhaps in a similar situation to Marcus of old? So let's say they've done their first race and they experience the feelings that you experienced. With your wisdom now and your knowledge and all those runs and races under your belt, what advice would you give to those people?
In this particular time that we face, we find ourselves in now with the coronavirus pandemic, it's cancelling races. So that means we can actually focus on the basics and work on our strength and conditioning, those things that we may have missed out before. And with less races, it means that we can actually start to build our training properly. So just take it as it's a good time to sort of build the things that we probably would have, you know, taken for granted before, because we were so busy in trying to complete the next race and the next race and the next race. Because it's not really about the next race. Like, what are you running for? The next race, at the time, times aren't bad on themselves, but you know, what are you training for? Are you training for that event, or are you training for life?
Putting things in perspective, isn't that, I guess? And yeah, and using this as an opportunity, which I think many people are coming around to this train of thought, is what I sense. Initially, there's that, you know, sheer overwhelming disappointment of my race has been postponed until autumn, and what do I do? And I'm a runner and I want to get out there and I can't do what I want. But then I think once people get over that almost a grieving period and start to process and deal with it, you can come out the other side and start to see it as an opportunity, which clearly you've done. Just coming up to the present moment, I know that you were training, well, I believed you were training for Manchester, but then you got a place in London, is that right? And that was your focus?
Yeah, I'm based in London and I've got two young kids, and it just made more sense.
Sure.
to be in London. There's nothing wrong with Manchester. I've run it a couple of times before and it's a fantastic race, but just logistically it just made more sense if I could get a place where I could just get the tube and to the race and get the tube home.
And obviously you've done London as a six-star finisher. How many times have you ran London?
I've run London three times.
You're after sub-3, aren't you? I mean, this is something that I think we can both relate to, and you've been very, very close. What is your personal best?
I ran my personal best in my last marathon, which is the New York City Marathon in 2019, and I ran 3 hours and 19 seconds.
Oh, no, 19 seconds. I mean, how did you feel when you crossed the line?
I was gutted. I mean, I ran the first half, I was flying, I was feeling good, and get towards the end, and New York's a really challenging course, because it's not, some people say like, oh, why don't you run it evenly, but it's not like a Berlin course where you can just run it evenly.
Sure.
You've got the bridges, and you've got the dips and rises, and it just really throws it, you know, throws things out of perspective. So, you know, you get to halfway, and you know, you've really done a couple of like rise and falls for the bridges, and then you know, you get towards the end and you're in Manhattan and you're in Central Park, and it's just, when you're walking it you think it's not so bad, but when you've run like enough like bridges and ups and downs, it does get into your legs. So it was disappointing when you, I think afterwards, for sure. I mean I called my wife and I was just devastated. I was just devastated, but you gain perspective, and I just looked and she helped me sort of realize and said, like, you know, you did the best you could on the day. Could I have done any more? No. I mean, some people would say maybe you could have, you know, run it slightly like slower in the first 20 miles and then try to pick up the last 10k, but at the time I did the best that I thought I could. You know, I'm not sure I could change anything else really. So
I think that's really admirable to come away and say that. I think there's many people that would say, well, yeah, I think, you know, in hindsight, I could have gone quicker here, or I could have, you know, saved time there. But actually to come away from it and going, you know, that's me. That was me on the day. I gave it everything I could. I can't ask anything more. And I can only imagine, Marcus, the overwhelming feelings of emotion when you cross the line and obviously calling your wife. I've been there myself, where it's a very emotional journey, isn't it? A marathon, irrespective of people's target time. If people are listening to this and have never ran a marathon, be prepared, because it's a wonderful journey. It's something where you learn a lot about yourself through training, through the race, but it can be very overwhelming as well when you cross that line. Did you know that it was not on the table, the sub-3 in New York? I'm really intrigued, because 19 seconds is not a lot. Now, my personal best is 3 hours and 3. So I knew that, so I was not even targeting sub-3 on that day. It was to try and qualify good for age, which was 3:05. And so I sort of knew where I was. But for you, 19 seconds, when did you realize it was off the table?
I think when I was in Central Park and I was thinking, looking at my Garmin, thinking, hold a second.
And for people that don't know, what distance would that be? It's Central Park.
We're still going. We're still towards the end. So I ran the first half in like 1:25, so I was wow. You know, and I was feeling good, 20 miles. And I think it just from like the last 10K, it just got in my legs, and I was trying to grind it out. And I thought I was in a fight, you know, I was pretty much in a fight towards the end. But then I remember coming around the last corner, I was looking at my watch thinking, oh my gosh, like, I'm not going to make it. So it was really more towards the end. I thought I had it, but I just feel it like kind of slipping away as it was getting more and more fatigued. So if this is one of those things, and like you say about, you know, disappointment side, and you know, I spoke to my wife about it, you recall all, you know, the training sessions, all the time you went out in the wind and the rain and all the early mornings and you didn't feel like it and all the things that you had to sacrifice, and those are the things that really get you. It's not really about what X person on social media thinks, it's all about the sacrifices that you've had to give up on your family and your personal life to get there. So it was really emotional. And I mean, I don't cry that often, but I mean, I cried after the race when I speak to my wife. But it's important to feel these emotions, and then once you've got it out your system, you know, then I can really look at perspective and go, look, I gave it my best. And whatever people say to me, go, oh, you know, do you really think you lost it here or whatever, I'm like, I know myself that I couldn't have given any more.
It's obviously clear that you're a huge ambassador for mental health. Tell me a little bit more about that and why it means so much to you.
I think my journey regarding this topic has changed, like, for many people. We all have physical and mental health, and that's important. And I just think it's good to be aware of how you're feeling, but make the best choices that you can. Now, everyone's situation is different, so... You know, when I first started running, I probably was running for some of the wrong reasons in terms of just not feeling great about myself, and being in quite a negative place, negative headspace. But like life, you know, as we go through things and we learn and grow, we do change. And I think I've come out of it a lot stronger. I think mental health is an important part of us as people.
Do you think there's a flip side to running and mental health? Do you think there are certain situations where running can potentially have a negative impact on our mental well-being? And I guess I'm really picking up on what you said about almost overtraining in your early days and wanting the fix from the races, and with that can come a certain degree of pressure. Do you think people have to be a little bit mindful of how they use running to enhance their mental health? What's your thoughts on that?
I think movement is good generally for your mental health, because if you're in a, you know, a bit of a mind funk, you know, movement and being fresh air can create a little bit of a switch. But, you know, you're right, you have to be a bit mindful. I would say that running in itself isn't probably like a cure for mental health challenges or situations that you find yourself in. I think if you're going through something and it can be bigger than running, you know, you can't escape it. I mean, you can't run away from certain feelings or things that you need to face and deal with. So I think sometimes you need to step away and just take the time to kind of be mindful, be aware of the thoughts you're going through, whether they're healthy, neutral, and, you know, just take some time to see how you sort of find yourself sort of dealing with all those. And it's like problem solving. I mean, I find it's the same sort of thing that I do. I talk about that I do in running. You know, you could be running, doing like an interval session, and I find all the demons that you all have will come out in your running. You know, you can be feeling good in the beginning, you think you feel great, but when things start getting real and you're in deep water, the things that you struggle with will come out when you're running. Like whether you feel good enough about yourself or some challenge at work or the way you see yourself, it will come out at that point. And it's just like a very loud voice that just is like barking at you. And it's just how you respond to it.
Was there like a moment that was almost like a light bulb moment, like a switch where you suddenly realized the power that running had on how you felt? Or was it a very progressive thing? Did it creep up on you slowly?
No, it's just a gradual thing. It's just like training. It's just like lots of little steps, little things that happen that create a big result. The way you see your life when you're 15 is different to the way you see your life when you're in your 30s. Your perspective changes for sure, and the language you use is important. So I would never say that I'm suffering from mental health challenges or whatever. not that we don't have challenges, like you might be stressed at work or something that's happening at home, but it's just like running. It's just like you have a stressful moment in time, but it's not permanent, and you are not that moment. That moment doesn't define you as a person. That moment will be over. It's the same as that you're in a race, like you go through a difficult moment. That moment doesn't define you. It's a challenging moment, but it will be over. I just try and keep things in perspective and sort of see myself as not neutral, but just like accepting everything as it is in the place that it has, but not being overly defined by it. I mean, you've got to acknowledge how you feel about things, and that might be rational for some people, that might be irrational for other people, but you have to feel that emotion. You've got to process why it triggers you. You know, there is a process in that, and sometimes it's not always comfortable.
Tell me a little bit about your podcast that you've launched for any of our listeners that want to check out the Marathon Marcus podcast, which is Runner's Life, I believe it's called. Is that right?
Yeah, that's it. I've always had an idea of like doing a podcast, and when you've been interviewed by other people, you see other people doing certain things, you think, oh, these are the conversations that I have with my friends, or, you know, but I'd like to put out there. So it's something that I've been thinking about, but I never really had the impetus to do. So this week basically came around, and I thought, well, just let's start it. Got my first guest lined up, and just roll from there. But at this stage, I think because of just the current situation we find ourselves in, it's got that focus on how we can get through this time in the best way, rather than focusing, say, too much on these are the splits I'm running, because all these are the shoes I'm wearing, because look, there's people that are, you know, losing their jobs, there's people's businesses that are, you know, suffering. And that's not what people want to be hearing right now.
I listened to the episode with your coach the other day, which I thought was great, really insightful. And it's good to get some thoughts from a fellow coach as well, clearly a very experienced man. That's a Runner's Life podcast. For show notes from this show and extra content, then just go to runningwithjake.com/podcast. We'll link the Marathon Marcus, as he is known, his podcast there. Just finally, where can people catch up with you, Marcus, if they want to check in on the various social channels? Where's the best place to get hold of you?
My website, which is marathonmarcus.com. I've got my podcast, as you mentioned, A Runner's Life. You can mainly find me on my Instagram page at The Marathon Marcus.
For the show notes and video content, go to runningwithjake.com/podcast and follow us on social media.
If you have a burning running-related question that you are dying to know the answer to, and you've Googled the backside out of it, but you're still left confused, then it's #AskJake. Now, Rebecca's messaged in wanting to know how often she should change her running shoes. Now, there's a few things to consider here, Rebecca, because there is no magic answer, unfortunately. However, 400 miles is often the number that's cited as the time to start thinking about changing your shoes. Now, there's a few things to look at. Your weight as a runner, the style of running, how you strike the ground, the terrain that you run on, how often you run in them. You know, are they your only pair of shoes, or do you alternate between running shoes, which gives them a little bit of rest and recovery so that they do their job a little better? But I think 400 miles is a time to start thinking about it and just have a look at the sole of the shoe. What is the wear pattern like? Do they look like they are dying? And the key is definitely to log the mileage in your shoes, because I think there's a lot of runners out there that don't do that. So if you're not doing that, Rebecca, I think that is definitely a good place to start. And when you get to about 350, 400 miles, start to think about changing your shoes. I hope that helps, and good luck with whatever you're training for. That's it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. Great to have your company. We'll see you back here next time. If you want to keep up to date with all the content from today's show, the show notes are on runningwithjake.com/podcast. You can head over there, check out the photos, the videos, any recipes from any of the things that we talk about on the show can all be found there. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review, subscribe to the podcast. Oh, and one last thing. If you really, truly believe that you can, then already you are halfway there.
And on next week's episode of Running with Jake,
my producer Pete, who is a non-running guy. Actually, I say you're a non-running guy. That's going to change very soon.
What do you mean that's going to change very soon? That's not going to change very soon at all, unless someone chases after me.
Look into my eyes. Look into my eyes. You will become a runner, my friend.
Running with Jake, the podcast. That's a wrap.
For goodness sake, is anyone listening? Whose is that car?